A reading from 2 Kings, chapter 22, verse 1, through chapter 23, verse 3. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, son of Meshullam, the secretary, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to the high priest Hilkiah, and have him count the entire sum of the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected from the people. Let it be given into the hand of the workers who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Let them give it to the workers who are at the house of the Lord, repairing the house, that is, to the carpenters, to the builders, to the masons, and let them use it to buy timber and quarried stone to repair the house. But no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that is delivered into their hand, for they deal honestly." The high priest Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." When Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, he read it. Then Shaphan the secretary came to the king and reported to the king, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workers who have oversight of the house of the Lord." Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "The priest Hilkiah has given me a book." Shaphan then read it aloud to the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded the priest Hilkiah, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Achbor son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and the king's servant Asaiah, saying, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our ancestors did not obey the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us." So the priest Hilkiah, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to the prophetess Huldah, the wife of Shallum, son of Tikvah, son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She resided in Jerusalem in the second quarter, where they consulted her. She declared to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, I will indeed bring disaster on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read. Because they have abandoned me and have made offerings to other gods, so that they have provoked me to anger with all the work of their hands, therefore my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. But as to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and because you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Therefore I will gather you to your ancestors, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring on this place." They took the message back to the king. Then the king directed that all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem should be gathered to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him went all the people of Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, keeping his commandments, his decrees, and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. All the people joined in the covenant. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
A few months ago, Javen and I were up north of Brainerd with his parents, enjoying his sister Brianna's visit from her home now in the Netherlands, and meeting her new Portuguese boyfriend, Pedro. Javen's mom took the occasion to return to Javen a few artifacts from his childhood, including some stuffed animals and two hard shell cases of Legos. I'll never forget Javen's immediate enchanted response when he saw these Legos. I watched his eyes light up, heard an exclamation of delight, and saw 35-year-old hands become those of a 6-year-old again, reaching into the cases to play with wheels and platforms and hard plastic assemblies left over from whenever he had last played with them decades ago. To me, as an outsider, these Legos looked like old artifacts from an earlier time. But to Javen, they were a portal back to childhood again. We had found a treasure whose value could not always be seen, which had been forgotten. King Josiah, as we've heard, makes his own rediscovery in today's reading, finding there a treasure of wisdom and law that all the people had apparently forgotten about. Josiah builds a reputation for faithfulness from early on, becoming king of Judah, as we heard, since when he was only 8 years old. He's compared in the introductory remarks to none other than the greatest king, David. Josiah is most known in Scripture for an ancient Back to the Bible movement and a series of reforms which started when he renovated the great temple to God in Jerusalem. The temple had fallen into disrepair by the neglect of one after another of the previous kings, but Josiah essentially gave a blank check to the workers there from the treasury in order to restore the temple's former glory. During construction, as sometimes happens, Josiah's officials discovered something that had been hidden long ago, a book tucked away. You see, a whole line of unrighteous Hebrew kings had elevated other gods, and the sanctuary had gotten cluttered with other idols. And they persecuted the followers of Yahweh and forced this earlier faithful religion underground by those other kings. Scholars believe that what ancient priests must have hid in the temple to be discovered later was a copy of what we now know as the Book of Deuteronomy, the Book of Law, a set of instructions from Moses on how to behave in order to please God and to find abundant life as a community of faith. Josiah, in hearing the text and reading it, finds the echoes of truth and faithfulness in this ancient text. And rather than tossing it out, he investigates more deeply. Sometimes, though, what we discover in history is not always easy or playful or welcome. The prophetess Huldah, a reliable steward of God's voice, interprets these words of Deuteronomy for Josiah and his officials. She tells him basically, I have a lot of bad news and a little good news. The bad news is this book's judgments about unrighteous, unfaithful Judah are going to come to pass. Evil has been done over generations. God's law and temple have slipped into disrepair, and the people of Josiah's time are on the hook. It doesn't matter if the current people aren't the ones who forgot the laws. They aren't the ones who lost the way. Still, the people of Judah in Josiah's time bear responsibility for the sins of earlier people, much as our current culture must grapple with centuries of unchecked and worsening carbon pollution, or 400 years of African-American enslavement. We didn't do it, and yet we wrestle with it. God doesn't turn a blind eye, Huldah says, to the sins of ancestors, and the natural consequences of those misdeeds will befall the people of Judah. The good news, though, the sliver there that Huldah gives to Josiah is that at least the destruction won't come in his own lifetime. He'll be returned to his ancestors, which is a fancy biblical way of saying he'll die before the end comes for Judah. We see the character of this young king by how he responds in this moment. He could grimace at the long-term forecast, but say, at least it's not coming in my time, or complain that it's really too late anyway, or otherwise punt from taking responsibility. Nonetheless, Josiah persists in the verses and chapters after this reading in a series of reforms to help the people better follow the ways of God, as described in this book of the law. He models leaning into a new and more challenging way of faithfulness, not shirking from duties, but rising to the moment of history in which he finds himself. When we rediscovered these Legos from the basement of Jabin's parents, Jabin didn't actually turn into a six-year-old boy again. In fact, something even more precious happened. We played with them all together, and there were no children in the house. 30, 40, and 60-something adults sat around a table for more than an hour, creating airplanes and helicopters, vehicles and homes with these little precious plastic blocks. Pedro, Brianna's boyfriend from Portugal, who we were just meeting, is an air traffic controller. And I'll never forget the joyful laughter as he conducted the radio conversation from Jabin to coach a Lego plane down from the skies onto the runway. These long-forgotten toys served a new purpose when they were rediscovered. And they've cemented a relationship of affection already with Pedro, and new memories with Jabin's family. Something old, when it's rediscovered, need not be disregarded or just restored to what it was, but instead can lead to something new altogether. In like manner, the book that's discovered when Josiah is restoring the temple is not put high on an altar somewhere at a distance to be worshipped or revered with awe. Instead, the book is an opportunity for new devotion, as it's given new life and read aloud in not one, not two, but three different times over the course of this passage. The third reading is in the presence of all the people who gather with Josiah, the priests, the prophets, we're told, and all the people, both small and great. Josiah's faithfulness invites a response from the others who gather with him, so that all the people respond with their own faith, recommitting to the covenant. Again, the treasure that was found shows its worth not only in its original character, but in what new joyful living becomes possible because of its expression in the contemporary moment. Despite this hopefulness and commitment to a renewed covenant in Josiah's time, I'm mindful that the nation of Judah as it was then was not saved. 30 years after the events of this reading, Josiah dies. The rising power of Babylon invades Judah, and the nation is conquered forever. Their sacred scrolls and the artifacts of the temple are carried away to Babylon. But even though the artifacts from the temple that led to their faithful renewal are removed, the revived covenant relationship to God with the people was not lost to history with those temple artifacts. Even now, millennia later, people faithful to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still gather, mindful of the covenants of this God. Gratitude and thanksgiving for God's faithfulness, no matter what. The God who secures the covenant in Josiah's time remains steadfast and faithful to the end of every age. That's not lost. Whatever comes and goes from history. So as we grapple in our own time with the weight of history, with where we find ourselves in this moment, may that be a comfort and reminder for us. We may or may not be able to overcome the mortal threats that nations face in our own time, of climate change, of systemic racism, or the pervasive loss of faith in government or in media. These unholy ideologies, these other Babylons that clamor for allegiance instead, it's a real possibility that they may prevail, despite our best efforts as a society and community together, and will be led captive, as the people were to Babylon. Nevertheless, I find comfort in the promise that God does not give up on anyone. God does not give up on any people, nor on us. And God entrusts us, like the people of Josiah's time, whatever the future may hold, with the calling to remember, to restore, and to build anew, despite the circumstances we happen to live in. So this week, that is our invitation, standing at the future's threshold as we are now. May whatever honored traditions we encounter in this week of Thanksgiving, whatever relics from the past that come out to decorate your table or form the topics of conversation with loved ones, may those relics be occasions for new memories and gratitude for what God is still calling forth. And not only gratitude, but also a spurring and prompting to create a new covenant for the days yet to come. The God of all faithfulness awaits in the future as well. And the God we will find there is faithful to covenants throughout history, extending salvation to us in these days by the message and the salvation and the undying love of Jesus Christ. In gratitude for that, we give thanks and we press on with faith in God. Amen.